years, this cold, deep-running current penetrates far into the gulf to the Saguenay River, where a steep-walled sill forces the frigid waters to the surface. The surrounding wind-whipped shores bear mute witness to these forces of nature. Loosening winter's fierce grasp, warm southern winds frequently blow across the rolling Quebec countryside and spill out onto the river. The meeting of cold water and warm air produces a dense concentration of water particles called advection fog as the air cools to the dew point. The resulting phantom fog banks on the St. Lawrence are as inevitable as the tides, though not as predictable. During the early morning hours of May 29, 1914, two ship captains, one on the bridge of an opulent ocean liner and the other on an unglamorous collier, or coal-carrying cargo ship, were speeding to their home ports, traveling in opposite directions. Both men were intent on making their scheduled arrival times. The ocean liner's precise landfall at her destination would avoid disrupting passengers' travel plans. A timely port arrival for the collier meant fulfilling her contract for delivering a valuable cargo. But both captains had on their minds the fog regularly produced by the forces of nature along this busy waterway. Visibility could be poor to non-existent on the St. Lawrence, and conditions had been known to change without warning. The Empress of Ireland. The Empress of Ireland, built and operated by the Canadian Pacific Railway, was making ready for departure from Quebec City on Thursday, May 28, 1914. Aboard were 420 crew members and 1,060 passengers. The Empress's destination, despite her Canadian ownership, was her home port of Liverpool, England, with her landfall projected for 6 days hence. The Empress of Ireland was about to make her first Quebec City-Liverpool round trip of the 1914 summer season. The ice on the St. Lawrence had finally broken up on April 25th, freeing the river for transatlantic service. In Canada, it was always big news when the massive steel leviathans of both shipping and passenger traffic could finally make ports of call deep in the heart of the province. During winter and spring, when the river was frozen over, ships were forced to make their landfalls in Canada at the ports of Halifax, Nova Scotia, and St. John, New Brunswick. Although fine deep-water ports, these two oceanfront cities lay hundreds of miles and many hours by train from Quebec City and Montreal, the inland hubs of Canadian commerce, and the points where immigrants from Europe wanted to disembark. By 1914, the Empress of Ireland had proudly flown the checkered red and white banner of the Canadian Pacific Railway for 8 years. Along with her sister ship, the Empress of Britain, the Empress of Ireland had made 95 transatlantic crossings for the giant Canadian Transportation Company without major problems. The two vessels were the pride of the railway line, and the line had much to be proud of. The two identical vessels were the epitome of modern design. The Empress of Britain was launched in 1905, and the Empress of Ireland followed on Saturday, January 27, 1906. Both ships were fittingly referred to as the Empresses of the Atlantic. From stem to stern, each measured 548 feet 9 inches. From port to starboard rail, they stretched 65 feet 7 inches. From the keel to the uppermost deck, they soared 87 feet. The vessels drew just 27 feet fully laden, a relatively shallow draft ideal for river travel. Their gross register, or carrying capacity, was 14,191 tons, and they displaced 26,000 tons. Two state-of-the-art quadruple expansion reciprocating steam engines cranked out 18,000 horsepower and spun twin propellers. The Empress of Ireland could steam across the seas at an average cruising speed of 18 knots, 21 miles per hour, an astonishing feat for that era. The vessel also had a double bottom that ran from stem to stern, which prevented flooding should she run aground. Twin 200-foot bilge keels projected from the hull below the waterline on each side, reducing the ship's tendency to roll. 10 transverse bulkheads